Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program is being recorded for August 22nd, 2021. We're going to be looking a little bit at the human and why it exists in the first place. I probably will not be answering your questions with a great deal of satisfaction, but I'm going to give you the answers that I have for it for now. These are just my, what I call my for now answers. A for now answer is one that I am currently aware of, but could be different in a week, a day, an hour, in a month. I don't know. It depends on what's going on within me, my consciousness. I want to just begin to say that these three questions that I have are very interesting to me because they happened in succession in the last 3 weeks. And normally I don't get a lot of questions that are, shall we say, logical to a subject three weeks in a row. Two of them came in on one week and one came in the next week. And I started to wonder if this is a penetrating question that people are thinking about. Why am I human? Why is the human here? What is the human all about? I think some people, not many, are thinking about such matters. I don't think this is a huge subject that a lot of people think about nor care about. But to me, it's very, very important. It's always been important. When I was a little kid, I wondered all the time, why am I here and what am I doing in this body? I used to wonder about that. How come I don't have somebody else's body, or how come I'm not someone else? Things like that. I used to ponder that all the time. So this question brought up a lot of curiosity in me that brings about hopefully some insight in you about the state of the human and what the human is all about. Here we are. Nobody seems to really understand it or care to understand it because it would go into the seepage of maybe guessing. Maybe opinion, maybe, some kind of biblical thing. I don't know. I don't do the Bible thing that much. So what I try to do is take a little, an approach I had with the Asians and the Tibetans in India when I was there and live off of that. And I have found that everything that they taught us was true. I did. But you have to develop in consciousness to understand it. When I first received some of these teachings, I didn't understand them, but I didn't reject them. And that's the key. Just because I don't understand something doesn't mean I reject it. It means it's kind of an open book. So to me, that's the most intelligent way to deal with it. First question comes from Sid. In San Diego, he says, why are we in this human body? Why are we human? It seems that if there was a bigger plan to this world, it wouldn't include such things as a human being. Then he goes into all sorts of support for that, like wars and poverty. And Sid, why are we in this human body? I'm going to take it from there. There are many things to learn in this experience of being human. We are both the eater and the eaten. Do you understand what I mean by that? We eat everything and eventually we become eaten ourselves through death and life. The body kills itself, actually. And we spend years and years and years and years trying to keep it alive and thinking that it's here to be enjoyed like a toy. And then one day we find out everything we've done to that toy and the years and years that we've spent trying to keep it alive were eventually killed it. So there is a lot to be learned even in that. even in that, there's a lot to be understood and learned. And this can't be something that is logical to our pedestrian mentalities. So rather than looking at it from the point of view of, let's say, religion, the one concept that must be embraced is that you are not your body. So it would be fair to say, until I have that awareness that I am not my body, that I am not all the things my body purports, and I am not here to make my body my life, as it were, like most people do, I really won't understand the answer to the question, because there are some answers to questions like this that require consciousness, not logic and reasoning. So a mind has to be open. You can't pin down your thoughts to the scurvy, as I like to call it, of rational thinking when it comes to trying to be aware of the answer to this question. Most questions have an intellectual answer that seems logical. It comes from a basic intellect and our acuity, our mental acuity. But a question like this depends upon the level of our awareness and the state of our consciousness, whether or not we're in consciousness. And for a lot of people, they're not. So my answer is going to be very, very vague to them and probably not very satisfying. The reason you ask, why are we in the human body? Because this is where we landed based on how we've lived in past lives and past experiences. If I do not have an awareness that is inclusive of that insight, and most people would call it a philosophy, which it is not, it is an insight, then no answer would satisfy you. You're trying to find an answer to something based on the wrong tools to understand the assumptions of logic and reasoning. And there is no way I could satisfy your question. I can tell you that we are in this human to be taught many things: patience, compassion, basic kindness, things like that, that are very, very important. So I don't know what to say to you in order to help you. I can just say that you and I are here to have an experience that is beyond the concepts and the precepts of human thinking, and to understand our interaction with the infinite, that we have an interaction with our biology, with the earthly life, but we also have a relationship with the immortal life. And we have to choose between how we're going to live in this body, either mortally or immortally. And that is not a decision I can make for you. I'm not even here to talk you into it or out of it or any of that. That's not my work. That's not anyone's job but your own. You have to have enough experience of futility in this human body and in this world to come to the place where you start to question how you want to live in this body, or whether or not this is the final conclusion for you. And if it's the final conclusion, it's the final conclusion that you're going to just stay mortal. One day, after many, many experiences of great futility and frustration, that might change. There you are. That's my answer. It's the best I've got for you right now. And there might be even a better one, but there it is. Please forgive me. Now you know why I say please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Here's one. This is an interesting one from Thomas. He does not tell me where he lives. Oh, he does. Oh, forgive me. Colorado. God made humans. Why is it so violent, this human? And then he goes into wars and things that I've always wondered about when I was a kid. Why, if God was the made us in his image and likeness, he says, why is everything so violent? One of the most dangerous things, Thomas, that human beings do is they mix religion with logic. And they try to believe in what a book that was written thousands of years ago by people they don't even know or don't have any history really of that would give them the credentials to write such a book, and try to mix it with modern day, but current day living. And that's a very dangerous formula because it breeds assumption and contempt. And I don't think you really want to do that if you really want an honest answer. So I just want to say that. I am not one of those people who thinks that God made us in his image and his likeness. I am not one of those. So right there, I've taken myself out of the ballpark with you. There is no way that to me happened. Just no way. It is an assumption. It is poetry. You know, it's allegory, maybe it's something that is got a hidden language to it and a hidden meaning, and I can buy all of that. But if you take it literally, I just think you're hurting yourself a great deal. So let's get out of the image and likeness thing for a moment and just consider the question, God made human beings, why are they so violent? Your basic question. Survival. We live for the sake of survival. We don't live for the sake of awakening. We live for survival. We live by the animal that we are surrounded in and by as a human being. And this is just what we do. We want to survive. And anything that looks like a predator to us or someone or something that could harm us, that could take us away from the meaning of our survival and grab our food, our children, whatever, that's a threat to us. We're always threatened. And the physical prowess of a person is the only safeguard they have against a predator that might come in and take their food, their children, their wife, their belongings, whatever. We live for the sake of the survival of the human, survival of the fittest, as it is known. But really, it's more than that. In our survival, we don't know any other way to live with each other except through what we call being individuals. We don't learn how to live as a community, as a community that works together to help each other. You know, the old African saying, it takes a village to raise a child. And we just don't have that. We genetically speaking, in our DNA as well, mixing the two, genetically we like to think that we're better than other people, and that in that betterment we know best about the way we want our children raised, and la la la. We haven't learned communal living as an earthly form of life, and learning how to share and get along with one another. So the violence is all about my survival and how I go about living for that survival. And that's as far as it goes. It isn't anything else. We do have these enemies that we make of other people. And that's a terrible thing we do. We make other people an enemy. And we do this in all sorts of different ways. But in making you, I could make you my enemy. And if I did that, I would miss the opportunity of knowing you, of working with you, of having the blessing of you in my life. And that's the way I look at people. Everyone is a blessing, and everyone is there to help me. And I'm there to help everyone else. And if I live in that kind of attitude, I I produce a lot more goodness in this world. That's all I can say. It's an impossible situation. There are no answers to this violence. It's been this way for thousands of years, and I don't know how many thousands we have ahead of us with this earth, but it will always be. That's just the nature of the planet, and that's the truth. Thank you, Thomas. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question from Ronald. Does not tell me where he lives. What are human beings here for? I don't understand what our role is in this world, he says. We don't have a role in this world. Really, we don't. Not like one would think. To me, the effort that we have as human beings is to take care of the planet, not to take more than what we need, and to always be willing to give back what is necessary to sustain the planet and help one another, to love one another. But that's not going to work, and there's no government set up for that, and that isn't something that's a part of human nature. That is something that is of more of a step up above human nature, not quite divine, but just a step up. And to me, that's the way it should be lived in this world. What are human beings here for? Well, if you believe the Bible, we're here to subdue the earth. And we've destroyed it. We've not only subdued it, we've killed it. So it just, you can't go by biblical stuff. What are we here for? Partly to take care. Listen, it's a real simple equation. I'm here to take care of the earth that takes care of me as a body, my human body. And that's it. In those lessons that are learned in how to take care of the earth, take care of what's around me, take care of what protects me, feeds me, soothes me, comforts me, gives me a place to live. In doing all of that, I learned many, many important lessons in this lifetime about love, kindness, compassion, sharing, selflessness, patience. I learned many things. Those are the basic things I need to learn. So I came into this human body to learn just the acumen, shall we say, to gain the acumen of survival, just basic survival. And this rudimentary mentality that I have that takes me away from the meaning and the substance of my life has to be disposed of, and I have to learn how to live with the earth, with what is happening, and how to take care of it, and subdue myself, not the earth, but myself, the human guile in me, the human need for control, the human need for territorial dominance, things like that. I have to get beyond all of that. And if I don't get beyond it, then I become the scurvy, as I like to call it, of the earth, and I just make things worse. So the best way to go about answering your question is, what are human beings here for? To take care of the source of their life. And the ultimate reason for the human is to return to source, return to love, return to the state that created all of this, the creation of it all. I call it the authentic. You call it what you want. Call it God, call it whatever. That is what we're here for. When we understand that, then we have something unique and special in our life. Hope that helps you, Ronald. Oh, please forgive me for today. I guess, namaste, you see why it is so important to forgive me. If you have any questions for next week, you know how to get a hold of me, greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. Have a beautiful weekend. I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening. please forgive me. Namaste.